Okay, Michael Horn's our next guest. He's authorized American media representative for Billy Meyer Contacts and has researched these contacts since 1979. He has appeared on radio and TV as well as the various symposiums around the country on the subject of UFOs and the Meyer case. He made a DVD. It's called the Meyer Contacts, The Key of Our Future Survival. Michael's presentation of decades-long Billy Meyer UFO contacts will explore the evidence, including Meyer's prophetically accurate information, years before official discovery of war occurrences and the failure of top international professional skeptics to duplicate his photo films. Michael will show how the real purpose of the now-proven ongoing contract is to help us assure for future survival. I guess Billy Meyer had a unique role as a prophet. He prophesied many things that are now coming true. And they dangerously on. There was actually 19 assassination attempts on Billy Meyer because of the information he was bringing forward.
Okay, Paula, we are with our guest. Michael, are you there?
I am here.
All right.
Wow, you're coming in loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
Loud and clear, good.
So, I was just telling the listening audience about your work with Billy Meyer. And how did you get involved with this work, or how did you get interested in Billy Meyer's work?
Well, actually what happened was in 1979 I walked into a bookstore, saw the first photo book published by Lee and Britt Elder's Genesis 3 Publishing, and they were the clearest UFO photos I'd ever seen in my life. There was some information alongside of it on the alleged extraterrestrials connected to the case. There was certain quotes, and it was just a totally fascinating book. But it would take a number of years more before I would get my next real chunk of information, which was in 1986. I went into I was in a little cafe in Sedona, Arizona, with my daughter and some friends, and met another guy there. We were waiting for sandwiches to come, and started talk about, you know, UFOs, and the Billy Meyer case came up pretty rapidly, and it turned out that this man had the transcripts of the conversations between Meyer and, you know, I'll just say one time, alleged extraterrestrials. It's really up for people to decide for themselves on this. He had this back in L.A., told me when I got back there that I should come and visit. He would turn over these transcripts to me, which we did, I did, he did, and that began my study of the information in the case, which has been even more compelling than the phenomenal and irreproducible physical evidence.
Now, Billy Meyer prophesied other things besides his UFO information, right?
Yes, actually, in terms of prophecy, he wasn't prophesying about the UFO information so much as he was, you know, taking photographs and recording the sounds and getting metal samples and things like that. So he was gathering physical evidence, and he started doing that in 1964. But the information that we refer to as prophetic information or prophetically accurate, he actually started to publish that information in 1955. And this is what has, you know, added an extra element to the case that has boggled many people's minds. It's upset a lot of people for understandable reasons. But the prophetic information has been published by him ever since then. Some of it sourced from himself, and some of it, a great deal of it, from these extraterrestrial human beings that he's been meeting with for 64 years.
So is that where he received his information, prophetic information?
Yes, initially. In other words, his contacts, he claims they started when he was a five-year-old boy. And he was meeting with an elderly gentleman in a craft that this man flew in, and this was a very unusual situation, obviously, in 1942 in rural Switzerland, and Meyer confided in his parish priest about this. So there was another person who came to know about this and supported him in these experiences as a young boy. These contacts were for many, many purposes, to give Meyer preparation for his later life and to give him, even starting at a young age, information about things in our world that had occurred and that were yet to occur. He publishes his first information when he's 14, actually in 1951, and sends it around. And we, on my website, we have free links to all of this stuff. People can check at theyfly.com and start to look at this. This is the most heavily researched and documented so-called UFO contact case in history, and the prophetic information in this case, spanning 55 years, is virtually the most impeccably accurate, unparalleled source of prophetic information in our history.
Well, because you're seeing a lot of these things come true as the years go on, aren't we?
Unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of them come true. And I say that because the purpose, as it's stated in this case, the purpose of prophecies and predictions isn't just for somebody to look good and tap dance and say, I'm a prophet or a seer. It's to warn people about the inevitable consequences of certain actions and causes unless people make changes in their thinking and their actions. Now, that is the reason we get prophecy from any time in the distant, distant past to now. That is at least legitimate prophecy. We are being warned about things that are going to occur based on the laws of cause and effect if we do not change our actions and our behavior. This case has been enormously specific about what those causes were and are and what the effects will be if we do not make specific changes.
Well, he's maintained that we are able to change, I mean, as a group of human beings.
Individually and collectively, and hopefully sooner rather than later. When something's been foretold, let's say prophesied, that this event will occur if you don't change it, you only have a certain amount of time to do that. So,
are we even able to change, as an example, earthquakes?
That's a much harder thing to change. Now, the only element I would add to that is many earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and climatic changes are due to human action. And this information was beginning to be published by Meyer in 1951 and again in 58. We've been told over and over again that so much of this is due to our irresponsible draining of the petroleum of the earth, which is meant to buffer the plates, the tectonic plates. The natural gas that's taken out likewise imbalances the plates. The detonation of atomic bombs via testing or actual use, as we did this country twice in Japan, causes horrendous damage to our atmosphere, our magnetosphere, our tectonic structure, and genetic mutations to people that will develop and prolong over centuries. So human beings set a lot of these so-called earthquakes of many levels in motion.
Well, for example, Iran, having the war over there, Iran had a large earthquake.
Oh, yeah. And earthquakes will very often, occur in different parts of the world, and if we don't suffer something strongly here, and we're in a very vulnerable area, we don't pay much attention to it. The weather challenges that are coming to the planet all around, again, in this case, they specified long ago, we would start to see an increase in horrendous storm activity, hurricanes, tornadoes, as well as the earthquakes and volcanic activities. The kind of thing that's happening in the Pennsylvania area, these are not going to abate now. These are going to increase worldwide. And we have ourselves largely to thank or blame for that.
Not well, a lot of people say, well, this is just historic. I mean, every so many years we have this happening. Every so many thousands of years this happens.
To some degree, of course, there is always natural activity, tectonic plates, and every kind of event like that happens. But the long ago, they said, the increase and frequency in these things will only intensify from this point on. This is when they were telling him in the 50s and again in the 70s, especially if humans do not stop with the detonation of the bombs and the use of petroleum, as well as the other chemicals and junk that we're pumping into the environment. We will see storms of magnitudes we haven't foreseen. We will see, according to them, even islands and land masses going underwater due to massive earthquakes. This is just, and I'm not a proponent of doom and gloom. We've been trying for a long time, and Meyer for far longer than I, to bring information to the public via the media, via governments, which have basically shut it out and discriminated against it. The Carter administration refused an overt attempt of contact with these people. So we get to either wake up quickly and make some nice course corrections, or we will reap what's been sown. And that's just how it works.
Michael, by any chance, has Billy Meyer stated anything in his literature or wherever, his writings, that a specific land area will be more susceptible to it?
Well, look, yes, there have been specific places. I should put it this way. From about 1975 on to maybe the early 80s or so, sometimes a little beyond, they gave him very specific information. They would actually pinpoint the locations, the time, the date of earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, wars, assassinations, etc. In the last several years, this is in their transcripts, they said, we have determined that despite at least 30 years of providing this information to Earth people, they don't listen. They are arrogantly in denial of truth, and they want to hear, you know, fluffy, flattering words. They don't want harsh truth. We will no longer give any more specific events, but for those that want to look at what we've already given, you can see much of what's coming. They have talked about future events that result in the inundation of much of Europe in rains and floods. They've talked about even some of the English Isles, or I guess you would say Scotland, being hit by a severe wave caused by a nuclear detonation in the ocean. And to get right down to nitty-gritty here, and this may not please people to hear it, they've simply said, the United States of America, unless it alters its military policies and withdraws from all countries that it occupies, and they later added, of course, Iraq and Afghanistan, it is going to suffer unprecedented devastation, destruction, and annihilation because of its ruthless attempts to inflict its policing attitude on peoples around the world. It simply is violating laws of aggression, cause and effect, and this will be the outcome. They and look, I live here. You know, you live here. I'm not trying to do anything except sound the alarm, and the alarm is there's a fire in the house. Do you want me to soft talk it, or do you want me to tell you that your house is on fire? Once I've told you your house is on fire, or my house is on fire, it's up to you and me as to what we do about it. We can ignore it. We can listen to nice channeled information. We can think about the planet going into the fourth dimension and all sorts of other things that will not, with certainty, occur. Or we can say, you know what? We need a wake-up call. We've got to remove these influences from our life, from our governments, from our policies, and we've got to make course corrections because the handwriting has been on the wall a long time, and anybody that will just look can see that it is fulfilling itself.
It sounds like we need to do a grassroots movement.
It is the only way it will happen. Actually, it won't happen from the top down. There is no leadership from the top down possible anymore because politics itself is a co-opted, destructive process. Politics is not principle. Politics is the art of advantage. And because of that, because we do not adhere, we haven't discovered or recognized, and we do not adhere to strict, what you might call universally true principles, we get compromises, we get compromised so-called leaders who are there to feather their own nests and to promote agendas and to take payoffs and all the rest of it, and with few exceptions, of course. Therefore, we create through politics and so-called diplomacy the kind of grief that we have, you know, coming our way, that we're already seeing, and then we pretend that politics is going to solve it. It just doesn't work that way, and no matter what, I would like to be able to go, you know, on all the radio shows that I do and talk about the nice, wonderful things that we're doing. That's fine. We don't need to focus on the nice, wonderful things. We need to focus on the overwhelmingly destructive things that are going to affect every man, woman, and child on this planet. And there is no escape from it. Sooner or later, we have to pay the piper. If we make corrections, we get to diminish this account, what we owe. We get to come out of this a little bit better.
Michael, are there any political leaders at this point that could lead us powerfully in a direction we should go?
I don't know of them. I don't. I'm not saying that they don't exist somewhere. If they do, they're in enormously small numbers. What the Pleiaren, these extraterrestrials are called Pleiaren people, for what it's worth. They've long ago said the only way you solve your problems in terms of leadership is to elevate to positions of leadership the wisest, most spiritually developed people in your world. Not the people with political ambition, not your most wealthy and successful people, but people who have the true welfare of others at heart, who have no exclusive status above other people, but simply have the requisite wisdom and experience to do reasonable and wise things and to lead wisely. I don't know of anybody in a leadership position that qualifies, and I'm not saying they may not be there, I just don't know who they are.
And if they are, they have a hard road.
They are battling uphill. But they're battling uphill because we, all of us human beings, either actively or, by default, have allowed the most, pardon me, parasitic, greedy, and power-hungry people to ascend to these roles. The leadership that we have in this country that was actually, interestingly enough, rebuked today by the Supreme Court, which is more often than not partial to George Bush, rebuked his policies of detainment and trial policies for the prisoners held at Guantanamo. I'll just give you the words of Meyer and the people that he's representing, our leadership is composed of, and I think they mean this clinically rather than as simply an insult, delusional and insane people, and who feel that they are on a mission to destroy Islam and anybody and anything that does not believe and belong to the same belief systems that they espouse. This is, of course, the height of insanity and suicidal. So for those people that want to just, continue along the blind path and let the most incompetent person and people ever to occupy the Oval Office to walk through the doors, which probably includes even the janitors, to allow those people to be in charge of policies that affect the lives of every human on the planet is absurd.
Well, I mean, there's been more people killed for Christianity than any other thing.
Well, actually, in the name of religion, I can give you a figure of upwards of 10 million killed in the name of Judaism. There's, 19 million or 90 million in the name of Christianity. Radical Islam has not been short on it either. Here's my argument, towards or against religious beliefs, and I challenge anybody at any level to really refute it. Here is the sum total of substantiation for all religious beliefs. It goes like this. What's in this book is true because the book says it's true. That is it. There is nothing else to substantiate any of the deity, gods, you name it, premises of the Old Testament, New Testament, the Bhagavad Gita, all the rest. And the premise that we're dealing with in the Meyer case is, if you foolish humans would actually read these books, corrupted as they've been, you will understand that there were people here like we are now, long ago, representing themselves as your gods, your creators, and they have put you under a kind of bondage that's lasted for thousands of years because you've stubbornly refused to think your way out of it. And you've gone for the, if it's in the book, it must be true, which is in no other area of your lives acceptable. We don't allow that in a school, in an institution of higher learning, in a court. But nonetheless, a few billion people are pledged and devoted to their religious beliefs that have nothing to do with rationality and substantiation.
Well, even the story of Judas that came out in the mainstream newspaper.
Go ahead.
If you talk to some of the Christians, they still don't believe it.
Well, I've got another one for you on that. Hold your horses. Now, this has been known in the Meyer material for some time, so I'm not telling you something that was just invented to make a nice story. In 1963, Meyer and an ex-Greek Orthodox priest named Isa Rashid co-discovered some ancient scrolls in an ancient tomb on the outskirts of Jerusalem. That document, those pages, were written in Aramaic, which was a language that Isa Rashid could read in addition to his own tongue and German. For 7 years, he worked in his part-time on translating a part of that document, and when it was completed, he sent it to Meyer, who prepared it for publication in German. Within a few years of his translating that, he had to flee with his family into Lebanon because he was being chased by certain religious parties that had found out he had this document. He and his family were ultimately assassinated in Baghdad, entire family wiped out. And the scrolls had been destroyed when they were hidden in a refugee camp in Lebanon when the Israelis came in and destroyed that particular camp. And there's a reason I'm telling you this, because this book is going to come out in English again very soon. Anyhow, when this first English translation came out, 10 or 12 years ago, whatever, it was seen by a retired professor at Oregon State University who thought that he had just seen another Bible hoax and he wanted to debunk it. He spent a year and a half, thoroughly researching every line in this thing and comparing it with the book of Matthew. And his findings were very simple. This appears to be the original text upon which the book of Matthew was based, and it is not the other way around. And we have his site linked from my website, from They Fly. You can read this, and this document will be out hopefully in the next 60 days, the new publication. So in this document, we don't find a man named Jesus. We find a man whose name was given just as it was in the Old Testament in Isaiah 7:14, and just as Matthew in 1:23 repeats it. The man's name was Emmanuel. And we learn in this document that Judas was not his betrayer, and that the man did survive the crucifixion and ultimately moved to India along with his mother and some disciples. He lived there. He married there when he was about 45 to 48 years of age, and he did not marry Mary Magdalene. He married an Indian woman, according to these texts. He had about 5 children. He died when he was between 105 and 110, and his tomb has been there ever since, marked with 2 feet marks in the stone at the base of the tomb, with nail marks in the middle of the feet stating, "Here lies a great teacher who was crucified in his own land and came here to teach us," paraphrasing. So this, the Meyer case, when you start to pull the thread on it, this isn't just about UFOs. It's literally either the biggest hoax or the most important story in human history and the key to our future survival and our knowledge about ourselves.
Well, that'll make it stop and think.
Why do you think they chose Billy Meyer to give this message?
I can give you the answer from the case. So, again, I come back to this idea. There are things in here that are factual that I can prove without a shadow of a doubt. There are things that I have to say are speculative because I don't have a means now or maybe ever of proving them. So this is the information, so let's just regard this information as speculative, but you can think about it. According to the Pleiaran people, reincarnation is a fact of life. It's not a belief for them. They don't deal at all in any beliefs. They either know things or they don't. They're trying to find out what they don't know, find out what's true. Their science allows them to even identify and, quote-unquote, track the human spirit. So they can tell when a person is walking around or a young person just born, whatever, they can actually know who that spirit had incarnated as in past lives. Now, again, speculative information, but I'm answering the question as to why Billy Meyer, so bear with me. According to this information in the case, they knew and had tracked and had identified Meyer's spirit as having been in our past 6 other prophets, as well as having lived many, many, many other incidental lifetimes. This is the case with anybody, because being a prophet is not to be a deity. There are no such things as these deities that we create for people. We elevate people to an unreal status. Prophets are human beings who have a very, very difficult job to undertake. It will be thankless, and every time they do it, they will be attacked and vilified. And it takes an enormous strength of character. So if you, if it's true that there's such a thing as the human spirit, if reincarnation is a fact of life, and if Meyer's spirit had indeed been six other specific prophets in times past, that might be a good spirit to, you know, to cultivate and nurture, because it would have had those experiences sufficiently in the past, hopefully, to be able to handle the challenges such as the 21 assassinations that would come Meyer's way in the past 30, 35 years.
So he's reincarnated from several prophets.
Yeah.
Are there any prophets that we would be aware of?
Yes. Again, well, just for the folks that are going to have trouble with this, I'm just going to tell you what the information is, and I cannot prove this. Here's the lineage that is claimed to be the personages, the personalities that were inhabited by the same spirit. So let's be real clear when we say Billy Meyer's spirit was incarnated as, that doesn't mean Billy Meyer is this other person, because each time the personalities dissolve after death. The spirit remains, but not the personality. So let's go, and I'll probably get the chronology wrong, but these will be the names for you. Enoch, Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Emmanuel, and Mohammed. And then Billy's the last prophet in that lineage. From here on, for as long as he incarnates on this world, which he will simply be a human being here. He may well have, you know, access to his immense knowledge and things, but he will not play the role of a prophet again in any lifetimes.
And that's what he's been told.
Mm-hmm. So that's information, you know. Again, it isn't the kind of thing we need to get hung up on. I don't back away from it, only for one reason. I say, for me, there's a likelihood that it's true, simply because everything else I've been able to check out in the case has rung true. I don't find this man and this information to be deceitful, to be lies, or any of that stuff. I, if someone can prove that, and believe me, I have skeptics attacking me all the time, especially with the, because of the new article on the website that shows these rather remarkable photographs that Meyer took that people have accused him of hoaxing, and I think we make pretty clear that it was impossible once you really look at the photos on the site. And there's so much free information on my site, in articles and newsletters and archives and prophecies. People could start to come to some reasoned, you know, thinking as to whether or not this is really true. And then if they want more information, we have DVDs and the books and the things that give you so much more. And I'm very proud to be able to represent not only my own productions on this, but those of other people who've worked very hard in the investigations and the research in the case. And this has gone on by a professional team for many years too, so it's not just a, you know, kind of fly-by-night deal.
Well, thank goodness for people like you that donate your whole life to this in order for people to have that knowledge available.
Well, I haven't found anything else more important. I do this on an average of 6 to 8 hours a day on my own dime because I'm passionate about it, as you can tell, and because I just know in my heart that if enough people will at least look, not everyone is going to gravitate towards this, be able to accept it, want to kind of vet the information. And I don't want people to believe it just because I have a nice website or because you hear me talking if I'm presenting this information. Well, you sound convincing. No, you have to really look and think, because we've been in trouble because we adopt beliefs. There is absolutely nothing to believe in this case. That's why I tell you, the stuff that I can't prove, I call it speculative. Now, I might honestly say to you, you know, I think Meyer's telling the truth, but I'm not going to tell anybody, well, I believe that, you should believe that, because it means I don't know. I already told everybody I don't know.
Well, so, a lot of things. I mean, there's a high percentage of things that we don't know.
A tremendous number of things we don't know in many, many, many areas. And they have tried to give us, if people really would look and see the variety, for instance, in my newsletters and archives, when you start to look, or in an article like Proof Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, when you see the variety of things that Meyer was either the author of in foretelling, or the Pleiaron themselves told him and that he published, you've got to just gasp. It's just, it's like, oh my gosh, how can one man be the source of this six categories of irreproducible physical evidence, dodging assassination attempts 21 times, raising a family with three kids, now a fourth kid, renovating an old abandoned farmhouse at the same time and going on these contacts in remote areas around Switzerland so people wouldn't follow him, with one hand doing all this stuff. It simply exceeds. No one can duplicate any of it. And so this is why, you know, I'm grateful to you, and I'm grateful that we get to visit on this again, that your audience will have a chance to go, hey, wait a minute, why haven't I heard about this before?
Michael, I mean, going through everything, there must be some things that popped that you saw that were just like, beside what we just talked about, that popped to you and said, oh, my God, I would have never thought this, or something like that.
Well, I mean, there's actually, it's so much in a sense, because when you start to read all the information, and he's having these discussions allegedly with the ETs, and they're talking about, they're observing Jupiter and its rings and its moons with all, and he's reporting on all this information 5 months before the probe got there. Or he's publishing information decades ago on the two planets beyond Pluto. He's published information on specific scientific information on Venus a year before the probe got there. Information on Saturn and Mars before we discovered it. And then other things, the worldly events, the wars, assassinations, scientific discoveries. It's mind-boggling, and the stuff I've had access to is literally only a fraction, because most of it's still in German. There's 24,000 pages of information, and now his information is slowly being translated into six different languages. So I could tell you that I could be busy all day with my jaw dropping here.
Now, are you a part of translating?
No, I don't speak German nearly well as now. It's still very primitive. I don't maintain a study in German. I kind of bone up a little bit before I go over. I do my crash course, and I'm trying to discipline myself to get back to, study, so I'll be a little more fresh and fluent. But I'm nowhere near the level of competency to do anything like that. I know people in Australia who are. There's some people in the States. But this is a slow process, because it has to be done voluntarily. Somebody's got to, or somebody has to pay for translators, because the Swiss don't do that. They've done a certain amount of putting some stuff in English, and they said, look, the rest is up to you if you want it. We're not here to, do your job for you.
You're part of organizing getting it translated then.
Yeah, well, I am not one who's that intimately involved with that process. I support it, and if anybody ever writes me and says I'd like to help, I direct them to the people to talk to, because it's the most important thing. If we could get more of this into English, it's really, when you get to the core of the case, you get past even all the prophecies, and then you get into the true spiritual information, which is also a lot of it freely linked from my front page, and people could start to really get into a little bit of how do these, what is, what's spiritual truth according to these people, if they exist, if they're really, light years ahead of us in all these ways? What is reality? What is spirit? What is God? What is creation? What is life about? What do they know? And they talk about it. And it's very different than our religious teachings, with the exception of some of the elements of some of the Eastern religions that have a more cosmological perspective.
Now,
has he talked to anything about, I don't know if I can use the correct words here, but the mainstream scientists have just discovered that our Earth is connected to other bodies that we don't actually see with our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how fish eggs are all together?
Sure.
There's like membranes in between.
Oh, they've written about this long ago. Matter of fact, I'd have to remember where I was just reading a little translation of a few of those lines, where they were really admonishing us and saying, you have to understand, this is a one, this universe is one thing, and you are all connected, and you're connected to all the life forms in the universe, and there are millions of other human races that you're ignorant of. You're connected to all of nature. What you do on your world, to anything, affects everything, in varying degrees, of course. But what you do in your world can also affect other worlds. And you, because you're ignorant of the effects in your own world, and you even argue against the damage you do, that it doesn't exist, how can you even begin to comprehend how dangerous you could be to other beings, especially if you blow up your own world and send it hurtling through space all over the place? So we are like kindergartners here in our consciousness, and oftentimes we have the most arrogant people of being the most vocal ones in denial of all this, so they can perpetuate their financially based, you know, motivations and greed. And of course, we all suffer for it.
Now, Michael, let me just give your website out because a couple people have called. It's theyfly.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's www.theyfly.com. And one of the individuals that called also said, you mean those, he says, I build models and those space UFOs on Billy Meyer's pictures are, you know, they're just...
Right. Let me answer that, and I know that this will arise, but I'll give you an answer for anybody listening, including the model maker, who is welcome. We will welcome his duplication of any of Meyer's photos. So let me give you a little background. One of the special effects directors of 2001 was named Wally Gentleman. He looked at Meyer's photos, and basically, and I've got a document on my site with the scientist's comments, including his, he said that these were not models. This was either a master at work with a budget of $100,000 and 15 assistants somehow making absolutely correct photographs, or these were real. I went to a company, and your friend may know, Uncharted Territory, Volker and Mark, I don't know the last names of the guys offhand, this was a year and a half or so ago, they won the Academy Award for Independence Day. I showed them Meyer's photos, and I showed them Meyer's films and his video, and I said, the skeptic said that these are models, and I barely could get to another word, and they both burst out laughing. They pointed to the screen where we were playing one of Meyer's films, and they said, those are not models. We know models. Those are not models. And I said, well, can you duplicate this? And they said, if we could, we would have to go to CGI, computer-generated imagery. And they said, well, when was Meyer's film here that we're looking at? When was this taken? I said, about 1977 or 78. They said, well, there is no computer-generated imagery available to Swiss farmers that we know of then. We didn't have it either. And I said, well, you know, the skeptics are telling me it's a model. And they just, again, said, look, let me just tell you, that's not a model. Now, let's go further. There's a link on my site where the man thinks he's looking at a model. He'll see some photographs there that I took at almost the same location with a man about 6 feet tall, and then I put a box in the foreground. We had a challenge that went out to an organization called Center for Inquiry West, IIG. They're associated with the Amazing Randy. They accepted, after they said that Meyer's photos were an easily duplicated hoax, they accepted my challenge to duplicate one of his photos and one of his films. They never could duplicate a film. They came up with six, it took them 3 years, they came up with six photos of a model UFO, and when I was on the Art Bell show, and the guy called in to complain about my thrashing him, Art Bell said, well, why don't you submit the photos to the same tests that Billy Meyer's were? And they declined to do that, as have any and everybody else that's ever attempted to duplicate his photos. It's very simple. Meyer's photos, because of known photographic standards, are not small models close up to a camera, but are large models, large objects, quite a distance from the camera. Meyer took over 1,200 photos. This is a one-armed man that apparently has stumped photographic experts like Wally Gentleman, Michael Mallon, Robert Post at JPL, the Uncharted Territory. I have a friend now who just sent me, and I will be getting these up hopefully on the website in about a week or two when he's done. He has purchased ball bearings. This, you'll understand what I'm talking about when you go and look at these particular photos. He's purchased ball bearings and he's setting them up to try and duplicate the effect, and we are already seeing conclusively that it's impossible that the model of the object you see in the photographs taken by this man Meyer are anything but large full-sized objects. If your friend the model maker would like to attempt to duplicate, we have a free document on our website that shows the photographic standards and parameters to put these objects to the test.
Very good. Well, you know, like, we have to stand back and say,
sure,
you know, go do it, because, I mean, you know, there are disbelievers and people who believe. So, that, you know, everybody needs a chance to be able to prove to themselves.
That's
absolutely.
The second time today we've talked about Amazing Randy.
Oh, really? Well, by the way, you should know, the Amazing Randy called this case a hoax, and then a funny thing happened. After I defeated his organization, the CFI West IIG, he retracted his claim. He said he'd never called the case a hoax. Of course, he doesn't want to pay $1 million, you know, like he's ever going to do that for anybody. But I have not had any credible skeptic, and there are people that are attacking me really right and left on this, on the internet, and interviews, etc. They can't back up their claims. They cannot duplicate one photo. See, here's the thing. Skeptics talk about hoaxes and what they do, and don't forget Randy and his associates, a lot of them are magicians, and they really get excited about being able to show you how things are hoaxed. They can't show you how Meyer hoaxed his stuff. They can't duplicate it because it wasn't a hoax.
Now, was he guided to take these pictures? I mean, was he Was he guided to take these pictures?
Oh, they would give him a warning for a photo op. I mean, they communicated with him. They would let him know telepathically about where to be. Hey, and by the way, there's five other people that have photographed the ships and 120 witnesses to the ships, three or four people witnesses to these ETs, and a woman who came forward about 6 years ago. She is a retired UN diplomat, 14 years in the General Assembly. She was a child at an ashram in India in 64 when she observed Meyer, the UFOs, and the woman that used to come and talk to him from the ships, along with her grandfather and everybody there. He was written about in an article in the New Delhi Statesman in 1964. That's 42 years ago. So
he was seen in duplicated lands at one time. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
He was seen in different places. You know how some prophets can...
Oh, that? No. What I mean is there are 120 witnesses to these UFOs, and even people in other countries that have some other people in other countries even photographed them, but many, many people have seen these ships. The Swiss Military Air Safety Monitoring Unit reported 236 UFO radar sightings right above Meyer's land in a two-year period. The CIA has had Meyer under observation for 30 years. We know this from the lead investigator in the case, who was not only told this by the CIA, but so Meyer's people also know where the CIA facility in Switzerland is. So it's a lot of trouble to go to for a guy that's just making models with one hand that stumped people for 40 years. And then there's the sound recordings and the metal samples and all of the rest of the stuff. You have to understand, for those of you that are listening and first hearing about this, this is about our future survival. It's not about the UFOs. That's the ships they came in. That's like the frosting on the so-called cake here, no pun intended. It's to get our attention, because these types of events, these types of craft and more advanced people have been coming to this planet for far longer than we can even imagine. And they were the gods. I'll just state my particular point of view. I would affirm that they were the gods of antiquity, and that anybody that can divorce themselves from the religious belief system and even read our texts for what they are would see this for themselves. It starts to become very clear. Instead, we've made myths and, you know, big wahoo things and fear and punishment and hell where none exists except for what we create for ourselves. And that's one of the great blasphemous teachings in true spiritual teachings. We are
now, do you think this is where the Hopis and the other Native Americans get their prophecies?
I don't know. In some cases, some of the indigenous peoples, some of their people either had contacts in the past. Some are actually descendants. This is a whole other thing, because there have been people that came here long ago when there was no technology on the planet. They came in their technologies. And they became stranded here due to circumstances. And they were humans, like we are. And over time, when they had no technology to protect them, they had to fall into the wild to survive as anybody would here. Some of the tribes, you know, they fell into, they were extinct, became extinguished. Some survived. They would generally degenerate a bit in terms of, you know, become more primitive and then come back up and evolve back up the ladder if they survived, so to speak. But this is just touching on, you know, like a tip of an iceberg of information about the comings and goings of other, you know, races and people here in the past, and how we could actually really understand and reason our way through it if we will get past our beliefs and try to find out what is true. The thing either is true or it's not. I don't care about my beliefs. I'm sure I've got them. I'd much rather somebody says, you want the truth or you want your beliefs? Give me the truth.
Well, I think everybody wants the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, people need proof. I mean, a certain amount of proof or something. And when you find documents or scrolls that have been hidden and they have come about and maybe been translated and things like this. And we have some kind of way to have a handhold on maybe what's taken place in the past.
Yes, and what it means for our present and our future. And that's, you know, really the important thing. We, all of us, look, we're all doing the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more than likely, let's give that kind of a nod to everybody, and whether it's true or not, I'm willing to grant it. But we can do a bit better. Once we know, once somebody's turned us in a direction where there's some truth to be found, or certainly to be claims to be investigated, we have an intellectual and moral obligation to search and to seek and to think. Let's remember, if nothing else, what our wonderful photographs from the Hubble telescope have shown us. We are in a universe, a sea of stars that even Carl Sagan's legendary billions and billions of stars doesn't do justice to the reality. We are in something we can barely comprehend. We live on a piece, on a speck of cosmic lint, whirling around in a distant arm in a spiral, you know, galaxy known as the Milky Way. We're not the most important thing in creation. We're only the most important things to us. And there is no God or deity, angel, saint, or anything else that has chosen us, any individual or people, to be exalted over any other, to be a chosen people, an only begotten son, a solitary prophet, with rights of any sort that are above the rights of any other. We are going to have to either get used to that and realize it, or we will perish, and eventually another race will spring up from the survivors. We will either realize that we cannot, by force of aggression, dominate the world and try and make people like us or think like us, and that, during the past, as I say, 60 years, with over 200 acts of unprovoked aggression by our country against other peoples, including neutral countries, Laos, all sorts of places, the laws of cause and effect will dictate that the pendulum is going to return. What do we want to do to soften the blow and to make amends and make course corrections? Or will we have that perspective, or will we say, no, we are somehow granted with an inalienable right to dominate others and justify it with our rhetoric and our spin with whatever brutality, and we won't show it to people so they won't realize what we're doing to others, and we'll just march along because we need all the oil and we should dominate. So it's boiling down to, and it ain't going to work. And these people have said quite specifically, and I'll repeat it again, if the U.S. policies are not changed, the bottom line is we are annihilated in this country. Functionally, we're done. There'll be...
Well, there's a meditation that's done from Switzerland.
And it's done around the world.
Around the world. You want to tell the...
Yes, because instead of reiterating any more of this gloomy stuff, because people rightly should say, well, what do we do? Well, there's lots of specific information. It's for free on the site. I try to return emails to people, write them, but here's the answer to your question. There's something called the Salome Peace Meditation. It's conducted, there's a schedule you'll be able to see on my site, so I don't have to give you all the details of that. It takes 20 minutes on a Sunday. Some people also do it on a Saturday. And supposedly it's also being done by about 3.2 billion humans in the Federation of the Extraterrestrials on our behalf to try to dissipate some of the negativity that we've been generating here for a good 10,000 years. Now, you can, you know, find out how you feel about that, whether you think it's true or not. I can't prove it. I can prove that I am willing to participate in that meditation. I am willing to do my part. It makes me feel good, too. And to do it with other people, there's little groups around the country, there's people that are doing it on their own, because as that spreads, frankly, the Pleiadians have said, that's the single most important thing you could do. Because thought is the most powerful force on your planet. It's actually the most powerful force in the universe aside from spirit. Thought is that which creates all things. And we create either consciously or unconsciously. So when we're doing a conscious peace meditation, and they say this specific one is about the best they know for that. When we are doing that and we're focused on that for 20 minutes, as many of us on this earth and maybe elsewhere as are doing it, we're contributing something positive. And it helps us to be more peaceful in our own lives as well. So we are not harmed by any stretch of the imagination by looking into the peace meditation. and by looking at the spiritual teachings and seeing if any of it resonates with us. Does it make sense? Could it be that we are far more magnificent creations ourselves, with great responsibility to course correct and to save ourselves by virtue of our own consciousness and spiritual devotion and hard work and love for one another?
Michael, anywhere in Billy Meyer's writings, has there been anything about speaking about different cultures from other planets, maybe how they would appear?
Yeah, we have some of that in my DVD, The Meyer Contacts, and the book, And Still They Fly. If anybody gets the Meyer Contacts DVD, any of your listeners, I'll send them a free gift too, I promise. I want the material out there, and I want people to, if they're on the fence about it, I'll send you something free. It'll be worth about $15, so it's worth almost as much as the DVD. But it's in the book. It's in some of it's also in the DVD, quite a bit of their perspective on a lot of things about universal law, life, how things work, genetic manipulations that were done to our ancestors. There's a lot of information, and it differs from 99.999999% of the New Age information that is very fluffy and warm and friendly. Not that this isn't warm, but it's not filled with greetings, beloved, where the space brothers come to you and tell you that your master's on your plane. That's not the reality here. The reality is, hey, you people are in trouble, and if you're interested in getting some of this straight, here's some of our suggestions, blah de blah blah. I mean, that's the folksy way of putting it, but it's quite specific. It's spelled out in probably the clearest language you will ever read in English when they present their information. It's not ambiguous, and it's well chosen. And we've been given a gift. We really have been given a gift that the majority of Earth still, of course, doesn't know about, thank you to the politicians and media that keep it attacked or suppressed. But it's something for every person on this planet as a little bit of a map that you can explore. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to believe it. You can explore it. So this is what I try to do. And as I said, you know, the DVD is almost 2 hours long, and it's got photos and films and video and prophecies and predictions. On that DVD, by the way, I'll just say this. Some of you may be looking at my website, and you can see that there's this thing about the Paris riots that Meyer foretold them in 81 and in 87. I put that information on my DVD, which was published in 2004, a year and a half before those riots occurred. Now, this man is doing this stuff, and it's accurate. You can go there. When you see, that's like a legal standard proof. Now, I'll tell you, Paris wasn't destroyed yet, and I hope it isn't, because they foretold that it will be burned to the ground, basically from within, by Islam. Now, hopefully, because it's a prophecy, with what did happen already, they may have woken up to how they have to take care of themselves and correct the conditions that would lead to that. If not, that prophecy will fulfill itself.
Now, there's a lot of people out there that you say, the warm and woolly people, that believe if we get into a situation where we start to destroy ourselves, that our space brothers will come down and
no.
save us.
According to the information in this case, let me preface it because I'm not the authority about this stuff. I'm just a representative. Okay, so the information in the Meyer case is this. There will be no intercession to stop a third world war. There will be no rescue of people. The only exception to that will be intercession will be under two conditions. If we are about to destroy the planet, literally, which poses an enormous danger to other people in other locations, they will stop that from happening. They've done it once before when there was going to be a testing of a chain reaction bomb that would have incinerated the Earth within 8 minutes and would have been irrevocably destroyed. They will not allow the planet to be destroyed. If we annihilate ourselves down to the last few people, that will be our free will to do that, and ultimately we cosmically get that lesson to go through. The only other thing is that there is apparently an ET race, not these people, a race they know of that may well be having a secret location on the Earth. If there is a third world war, that race may lend a form of assistance to the forces that come against the United States of America. And right. That is written in the Henoch prophecies, which are linked from my page. You can go to freely. And just see what you think of that kind of thing. We're not getting this for no reason. somebody does like us out there, as thick-headed as we are, it's up to us if we're going to take the hint.
Well, I always call us the silent majority because I believe that there's more people that think this way than there are the people that are gung-ho for war.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody keeps silent because they're afraid they may not sound patriotic.
That's right. Well, people are getting cowed into that because also people here are very, very used to a certain comfort level, and the powers that be know that. People are addicted to their conveniences. They are addicted to, entertainment, endlessly. Reality television shows and sports events. Look at a world that is obsessed with probably the most ridiculous game ever created, soccer. I read a brilliant analysis of how foolish it is that you have a game where people don't use their hands with opposable thumbs and allow the most vulnerable part of their bodies, their heads, to be banging into something. So it's absolutely insane. We're goofy. What can I tell you? But we're not without hope. We have to simply take responsibility. The core of the teachings are you have to take responsibility for your lives at every level. And that means you have to not give up your power to politics, religions, false leaders, gods, gurus, saints, angels, masters, ascended masters, misers, whatever you want to call it. You've got to be responsible for yourself. Then you'll recognize people who are qualified to be real leaders. And one other thing. They say that ultimately, in the next couple centuries it's going to take, the real leaders of this planet will be what are called the true mothers of the millennium. They will be the women who have evolved their own power and strength in balance with their femininity and have put down and not suppressed violently, but taken over the control so that men are no longer acting out these violent, dominating fantasies. They don't say how this is going to happen. They just say that it will be the women that are going to emerge as the leaders here.
Well, the feminine energy is coming back for sure. And we're about at the end of our show. And we thank you so much for being with us. You gave our listening audience so much to think about. And I hear our phones ringing like crazy. So let's give out your website.
Thank you. It's theyfly, T-H-E-Y, F as in Frank, L-Y, .com. And as I said, there's tons of free stuff. If you do want the DVD, I'm going to send you a free gift because you're a listener to Paul and Taz's show. So I very much appreciate your having me on. I'm glad to do it any time, and I will try to answer questions as they come in. I'm not real prompt because I have volumes of stuff to do.
Well, you have an email.
Yeah.
There's going to be a UFO conference this fall. Are you going to be with us?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to be in the Santa Clara area?
I'm not there this year. They didn't invite me. I've done 2 years in a row, and they probably figured they want to give somebody else a chance. And that's okay. I'm waiting on the new release of the Talmud of Manuel, and most of my focus will be on that book, as well as the other prophetic information in the case. We're hoping that people will finally get that the UFO part is real, and they can move on to what it's about. So I want to speak in colleges and radio and TV, wherever possible. We have a wake-up call here, and I know a lot of people are going to say, well, if it was really true, I would have heard about it before, but you're hearing about it now, and now it's your responsibility to find out if it's true or not.
Okay, Michael, thank you for being with us. It's been a real pleasure being able to open our minds further. And we've been speaking with Michael Horn, and his website is theyfly.com. Okay.
So thank you so much for taking your hour out of the day to be with us.
Ooh, loved it. Loved it.
Yes, we did too.
Oh, are you on? Yes. Are you still on air?
Yeah, we're still on air with everyone. This is Embracing Mother Earth, 91.5 FM, KKUP, Cupertino. Don't forget, we are on air next week, 11 to 12, the normal time, and we will have another guest.
We were talking to Michael Horn today.
Mm-hmm.
So tune in next week, and thank you so much, Michael.
My pleasure.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.